D4. Number 11A.
Well, we have started investigating the law of interdependence. And now I would like to show you that this law of interdependence is not something which I have invented, but that it is a law that existed since time immemorial. Therefore, it has been sensed all through the biblical times. We do naturally not know if the biblical writers knew about this law, or if they had only the spiritual sense, and through their spiritual sense were catching this law. Even Mrs. Eddy leaves it open if the ancient healer did know the signs of healing, or if they just had the spiritual sense of it. But today, looking backward retrospectively, we can see that the biblical writers were seeing the law of interdependence right from the beginning. And so I would like this afternoon just take one law of interdependence, namely the law of interdependence existing between life, truth, and love in absolute Christian science and mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in Christian science. This law is stated in the Bible very clearly in two places at least, namely at the beginning of the Bible in the days of creation, and second, we take then the example of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. By taking this law of interdependence, we go back to Mrs. Eddy's exegesis of the first record of creation. And already there, right at the beginning of her exegesis, before she starts in with the days of creation, therefore with the law of creativity, she shows first the levels. You have it on your page 3 of the illustrative material, where I have just taken the text from the textbook, and we just want to read quickly through it, pinpointing how Mrs. Eddy takes the attitude of science itself, then divine science, then absolute Christian science, and then Christian science. The text reads in interpretation of Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Mrs. Eddy would take that one statement and explain it dimensionally. That's her great point, that she began to see the dimensional ontology of the Bible. So she starts in and writes from the level of science. She says the infinite has no beginning. This word beginning is employed to signify the only, and puts that in italics. You see, science itself, we saw last time, is that level of consciousness where consciousness just goes out that the infinite is the one and only. So here we have the great point that it is that consciousness goes out from the only. Then she goes further and shows then the level of divine science and explains that is the eternal verity and unity of God and man, including the universe. Gives that all-embracing sense, you see, God and embracing man. That great sense of unity which exists between God and man being one. So first you have the only, where being is just its own being, so to say, and then you get the sense that this only is the all-embraced sense of creator and creation being one, the unity. Then she goes on and speaks suddenly of the creative principle. And you get at once that sense of that creative sense of absolute Christian science, where the principle of being projects into being its creation. So you have the creative principle, life, truth, and love is God. The universe reflects God. Now you have suddenly the universe as a reflection. You remember very well last time we have seen when we went through the levels that on the level of absolute Christian Science we always have the reflection of the divine principle. So you get the great sense that you have a reflection. So thought goes from unity to reflection outward to the circumference. It's again that creative principle that has an omnidirectional manifestation to its ideas. There is but one creator and one creation. It's no more the unity. It's a creator and its creation. Can you see? It's no more the unity as we had in divine science of God and man. Now we are considering the relationship between the creative principle, life, truth, and love, as in absolute Christian Science, and its creation. Then thought goes right to the creation further and says, this creation consists of the unfolding of spiritual ideas. Now, suddenly you have the unfolding of spiritual ideas, of ideas, and their identities, which are embraced in the infinite mind and forever reflected and so on, which range from the infinitesimal to the infinite. Can you see, if you look at it now, you see how she takes that whole sense of the of being as the only, then translates it and says, this only includes everything. It's the unity of God and man. Within this unity of God and man, there is an infinite reflection. Bucky Fuller may call it the omnidirectional halo. That's his word. It's that omnidirectional circumference which is now under consideration, namely the reflections, and then brings it right down to the law of creativity in Christian Science, where it shows the days of creation, the unfolding of these ideas. Can you see? Up here in science, you couldn't have the unfolding of ideas, because in the infinite one, there is no unfolding. There is already everything accomplished. So here you see how Mrs. Eddy could depict, right, in interpreting the first verse, that dimensional ontology. Or you take the second verse, and here you have the same story. It is the story how really this first verse is dealing with darkness, with the question of error, because here it is that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, as if she would say, how can we deal with the suggestion of error? How can we deal with the suggestion of darkness, of ignorance, of mortal mind, with this omnidimensional consciousness? And so again, she would start in and would first depict it from the level of science itself and says that the divine principle and idea, they constitute harmony. That's where she starts, that principle knowing itself as its infinite principle is just one infinite harmony, heaven and eternity. In that universe of truth, matter is unknown. That's what we always had on the level of science itself. Matter is unknown. The proposition of evil is unknown. It is not even postulated. It is unknown. So we handle evil not as evil, but by saying the problem is unknown, but what I know is really, that there is just one principle in its own infinite harmony. Then she goes to divine science and says, divine science, the word of God, that's where we are, divine science, the word of God, says to the darkness upon the face of error, what? God is all in all. It doesn't say, really, to the darkness, go away, disappear, or I make you disappear. It just says, that one harmony of science says in divine science, there is, the all is in all. The all embraces the all. There is no little all where not the big all is. The big all, the capitalized all, is right there where the small all is. And then she goes further, you see, and says, therefore, I deal with the suggestion of darkness, because it says to the darkness. Now here the proposition is taken in that we have to deal with the suggestion of evil or of darkness, and says to the darkness, I am all. It doesn't say, go away. So here we feel God is dealing with the question of evil by acknowledging itself as what it is. I am all in all. Then we come to Absolute Christian Science, where she says, hence the eternal wonder that infinite space is peopled with God's ideas, reflecting him in countless spiritual forms. Again, you have reflection. Can you see, always when we come to Absolute Christian Science, we get the accent on idea, and see the idea really as a reflection of the all. So that each little all here in divine science now is reflecting all, the infinite all, in countless spiritual forms. Then, at that point, she begins with the 7 days of creation. And in the 7 days of creation, when one reads those 7 days of creation through, we get always a sense that what this impact is achieving is that it brings forth an ascending scale of being. That those 7 days are an ascending scale of being. So, if we look at this, or our periods of progress, in an ascending order, she speaks there of advancing spiritual steps, of ascending higher, of rising from the lesser to the greater. Can you see that this is quite a different level of consciousness than what she has given right at the beginning here, where she just says, well, all is harmony. At that level, you didn't need anything of ascending the scale of being. There is everything, just the infinite one. But in order to show that this infinite one has its impact on the human level, she must jolly well translate that through the various levels to show that the impact is coming forth by showing that this one infinite harmony is something which covers all, it's all in all, therefore brings out in every detail the reflection of the all, every detail reflects the all, until finally we see that this every detail is an idea which is unfolding and unfolding, rising higher, and we really have here in Christian Science and the 7 days of creation which indicate the law of creativity. So this I wanted to indicate quickly in the text from Mrs. Eddy in order to show really that this law of creativity exists in the Bible. It exists in Mrs. Eddy's textbook, so that you don't have to feel that I present something which is my personal opinion. It's my interpretation, or our interpretation, of a lifelong spiritual concept and vision which was always there. So from this point, we can go to page 4 and see how now the text in the Bible and Mrs. Eddy's interpretation of it shows this interrelationship between Absolute Christian Science as life, truth and love, and the 7 days of creation. You have on that page 4, the first vertical column, the 7 days of creation. Now we know that these 7 days of creation symbolize what? They symbolize mind, the first day, second day spirit, third day soul, fourth day principle, then fifth day life, sixth day truth, seventh day love. But now we come to the point of the interrelationship. We see now that these 7 days of creation have not just come into being except by the great impact that life, truth, and love has on everyone of those days. That life, truth, and love on the level of absolute Christian Science is really that which brought forth the manifestation of the first day. That life, truth, and love is that which impels the bringing forth of the second day. That life, truth, and love is again the impelling factor for bringing forth the third day, and then the fourth, and then the fifth, and the sixth, and seventh day. So that you have an interaction between life, truth, and love, and each day of creation. So on that horizontal, you have life, the creative, or the creative impulsion. You have truth, the factuality of that creative impulsion. And love as giving the fulfilled sense of that creative impulsion. So that every day in the days of creation is therefore brought forth by that law of life, truth, and love. And we just take quickly one or two or three of the examples here to just listen to the melody. The first day, you can see, the first day would be all through mind, through the symbolization of light. But we can ask ourselves, what is it that impelled the coming forth of light? It is life, because life says, let there be. See, you get the spiritual tone of creative impulsion, the infinite creative impulsion of life, which says, let it come into existence. Let there be. So let there be what? Mind, light. Then truth comes to that light or mind and says, I'm the factual. And so God divided the light from the darkness. He made it factual and said, this I want to bring forth light, and that must be such a fact that it is not mixed up with darkness. And so he made that light. And in the third impulsion, love, he says to that light or mind, that light is complete, is fulfilled, it never will lack anything anymore, it is absolutely perfect, and so the symbolization is that that light was called day. A day is always light. A day has never anything but light, and so gives an indication of the fulfilled sense of mind or light. Again, can you hear the spiritual story? See, little by little we have to get away then from the symbolization and just hear the law which says, life says to mind, let there be light. Truth says to that light, and I make it. And love says to it, and I make it perfect, everlasting, fulfilled. Now the same law rules in the second day. The second day, which is symbolizing spirit, which is the only, which has no duality, which has no mixture, spirit which wants to bring forth the purity of spirit, is symbolized in the days of creation as a firmament that separates the wrong from the true. And so, what is that which makes spirit be spirit, so that the fullness of spirit is being shown? It is again that impelling light, the impelling power of life that says, let there be a firmament. There is first that power of life. Then truth comes and makes it factual. And God made the firmament. It became a fact that could no more be gainsaid. And then love comes along and fulfills that fact and says to that firmament, I call that heaven, because in heaven there is no hell, because heaven is now the the purity of that spirit, the purity of understanding, where nothing evil, nothing erroneous can anymore enter, be mixed with it. So it gives the fulfilled sense of it. In the same way, naturally, we could take all the other days. We don't want to take all of them. I also must leave something for your own study and pondering. But all I want to show you is that you hear the enormous law of life, truth, and love as a day. You see, up to this point, we usually were talking about the days of creation, just in the days of creation way, namely that we said the first day of creation is let there be light, let there be wisdom, let there be creative ability. Then the second day, as we saw in the law of creativity, is that day let there be a firmament, let there be purity, let there be unfoldment. And the third day we called the third day let there be definiteness, a firm ground, let there be definite, let there be spiritual understanding, identity, clear-cut, definable identity. The fourth day was those the days of the heavenly system, let there be principle, let there be system, let there be harmony. The fifth day we had, let there be life. The waters were full of abundance of life. Let there be exaltation, the fowls that fly above the earth, which really have gives that sense of love with a small L, to get away from the mortal, to get away from mortality and materiality and lift oneself higher above the mortal. The sixth day, the day of man, let there be health, let there be dominion, let there be consciousness, let there be manhood. And then the seventh day of let there be peace and rest and fulfillment. We looked at this law of creativity for a long time, just as a law of creativity, which we can fathom, as we have seen this morning, as a definite order. But now we can ask ourselves, who impels this law of creativity? Am I going to impel that law of creativity? And now if we have that interdependence of that law of creativity with the highest law of spontaneity, of life, truth, and love in absolute Christian Science, we can naturally see that now each day is a day of life, truth, and love. Each day. So that each day is recognized as a day of life, truth, and love. Can you hear, as we ascend, really the symbols disappear. Instead of having 7 days of creation, now we have 3 symbols, each of the 3 being the impact on the 7. If we have higher symbols, then naturally they are better symbols. If we have fewer symbols, they are more substantial, they are really more essential, and so we come closer and closer to the oneness of being. Now, shall we take another one? Shall we take the third? No. I think I have explained that clear enough, what is on page 4, that each one can afterwards pore over it and see, really, that those writers who have been writing the 7 days of creation, one thinks that they have been written around about 550 BC when the Jews were in Babylon, and when the perhaps the school of Ezekiel or so, the prophetic school, were gathering the material and were bringing out the priestly document. Because the days of creation, the first record of creation, comes from the priestly document and not like the second record of creation from the Jehovistic document, which is much older than the priestly document. So those people who have seen that law, put that law right at the beginning of the whole Bible, in spite that they were seeing that at the end of that whole great historic biblical writing, which ranged between 900 BC and 550 BC, and put that law of creativity, seen from the point of view of life, truth and love, right at the beginning, because they could see that is being, life, truth and love, being, having its impact, as we have seen this morning, on nature as evolution, and having its impact on understanding as the individual understanding of the law of creativity. This was the general symbolization, and we can ask ourselves now, but is this law a law which is very practical, which has any practical consequences for us? And I, for myself, would like you to see that this law is a law which I would like you to culture day in and day out for at least a year or two, just to go around with that hum in thought of the greatest law of the world which we have found here, the greatest law of the world, that law of interdependence, where something just always says, don't worry, old boy, there is one person going on, the divine person called life, truth and love. And that life, truth and love is going on anyway, everywhere, at every place, at any time, by itself. It's self-operative. It's a self-operative law of the life impulsion which brings forth the true form of being and which is right from the beginning, complete and perfect. And that law of life, truth and love is constantly impelling in you the manifestation of mind, whatever mind is, the manifestation of spirit, whatever then spirit is, the manifestation of soul, the manifestation of principle, of life, of truth, and of love. And if we have that hum, that song of song within us, which is based on that law, we don't need to run after all those problems and try to solve 1,000 different problems. Then that law is so big, it covers such a great field, as we have seen, that it is the all-in-all which brings forth and governs every reflection, and therefore is making our sense of being ascend and ascend and ascend through the 7 days of creation, so that actually, if we hold to this wonderful law, we really are giving ourselves and the world the biggest treatment that covers everything. That actually you can say, as I can say with all honesty, that for the last few years I have never given any more to me a treatment. I have never taken up any problem about my personal life and said to myself, I'm going to work out this problem and that problem and the other problem. I just don't know that anymore. And it has come naturally without me being aware of it until retrospectively I could see that. That the moment I started to think from the point of view that a person, God, the triune person, being God, called life, truth and love, is actually conscious of itself only as the impulsion of life, of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love, then that covers the whole creation. It covers all the problems. And that takes us away definitely from trying to solve 1,000 problems each year, and every year another 1,000 problems. And when one problem is solved, we certainly try to find out a new problem on which we are going to work. Yes, it is so.